My Journey of Faith Radio with your host, Vicki Petz Henderson, physician, writer, speaker, encourager, and lover of God's Word. My Journey of Faith is a place to inspire, equip, and encourage women in their personal walks with Christ. Here's your host, Vicki Petz Henderson.
Welcome to My Journey of Faith. I'm glad you joined me today. I want to tell you about a hunting trip that I'm going on. Now, I've never been a hunter. My dad is a great hunter. In fact, he lives to hunt. He could tell you any given day of the year exactly how many days it is until hunting season. And my nephews are all fantastic hunters. They all have deer that they've killed, and even trophy deer at young ages. They're just great hunters. Now, my son has never been interested in hunting, and I've never been on a hunting trip. And I think that the reason that neither of us have been hunters is because to go hunting requires that you sit very, very quiet and very, very still for long periods of time. And we're just no good at that. And so I've never been interested in hunting, but I'm going on a different kind of hunt. In James chapter 1, verse 2 in the New Living Translation, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." When I read those words, it just meant so much to me because, let me tell you, 2016 was an opportunity for great joy for me because various trials came my way. It was a very difficult year in my life. In fact, I would say it was probably the most difficult year in my life. But you know what? I survived it. And I survived it because God promised that He would be with me. And a lot of friends have come along beside me and they have spoken truth into my life. I have dug into the Word of God and leaned into the love of God. And not only have I survived, but I will tell you, honestly, I'm thriving. And I have found peace and I have found joy that there were times I didn't think was going to be possible. And so when I read that verse, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." I thought, this is an opportunity for joy if I will search for it. So, the hunting trip that I'm actually going on for the year of 2017 is a joy hunt. Last year, I decided instead of making a New Year's resolution that I would choose a word. And it turns out that a lot of people are doing that. And I think it's a great thing to do. Last year, my word was believe. And I was just thinking about how Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Well, it turns out I finished up the year with the verse, "I believe, help me overcome my unbelief," which is out of the book of Mark. But this year I decided to choose joy, and my Bible study group was actually talking about this, and they have chosen a lot of neat words, and I would encourage you to do this. Here are some of the ones that they have chosen: thoughtful, grace, courage, trust, peace, hope, patience. I've seen some other people that have posted do it. That's actually two words, but if you're a procrastinator, I think that's a great word to use. Intentional has been a word that I've heard. On Facebook, some of my friends shared change and abide and strength and dedication. So pick a word and use that as your theme word for 2017. And you can go on a joy hunt with me if you'd like, or you can hunt for your own fruit of the Spirit that you need. And the way I'm going to do this, if you'd like to join me, I'm on Twitter as @RightSideUpLife. And every day I'm going to be tweeting about joy. And I'll tell you what I have found so far. I posted Romans 15:13 that says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So the first thing I had to learn is that joy is driven by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not found in your circumstances. It's not found in having blessings just poured upon your head. Joy is found by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so my prayer for you is that the God of hope would just fill you with joy and fill you with peace in the year 2017. If you've never been involved in in-depth Bible study, I would encourage you to really dig into the Word of God, because that's where you're going to find the power of the Holy Spirit. And what's really cool about studying the Bible is when you start to connect the dots and you start to see how one concept is embedded in another, and the Lord pretty soon will begin to work a theme in your life. And as I was looking through the book of Romans, I found this verse out of chapter 5, verse 3, or it starts in verse 2, and it says, "We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." It doesn't say we rejoice when our life is going great. It says we rejoice in the hope. It's something we're looking forward to, and it's the glory of God. And then it says, and not only that, but we also rejoice in our afflictions. And let me tell you, it's difficult to rejoice in your afflictions, but it turns things completely around. The Bible says we are to be thankful in all things. And if we can be thankful, even in a season of difficulty, even in a season of affliction, if we can come to the Lord with a heart of gratitude, we will find joy. And it says, and not only that, but we rejoice in our afflictions because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. And this hope will not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. See how that all just beautifully connects with that same concept that the Lord has been teaching me. One of the themes for 2016 that I have spoken out loud over and over and over so that I could nail it down for myself. And I would encourage you to do that. If you are going through a difficult season, speak what you believe. Speak it out loud, even when you don't feel it. I think that is one of the absolute keys to surviving a difficult circumstance. And I gave those words to someone who has just experienced probably the ultimate loss. And I told her, I said, you keep speaking what you believe. There's going to be times when you don't feel it, but you keep speaking it out loud. And so I would encourage you to do that. But the thing that I have spoken for 2016 is what Paul said. I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection, even if it means the fellowship of his sufferings. And honestly, I think what I've learned this last year more than anything else is that you really can't know the heart of Jesus Christ if you don't experience sufferings. Because Jesus came and suffered for us. He loved us when we didn't love him. He took the penalty for our sin. He did it to the point of death on the cross. It wasn't this help, wealth, and happiness gospel that he lived. He didn't come here and get crowned king of the Jews like they thought he would and be exalted as this great position and have health, wealth, and happiness. Instead, he was rejected. He was despised. He was spit on. He was tortured. He was beaten. And ultimately, he died for people who did not love him. And so how are you going to understand the heart of Jesus Christ if all of your whole entire life is blessings? And I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray for blessings, but I think our prayers would be answered more frequently if we prayed more about our heart than about our circumstances. And so I would just encourage you to be patient in your afflictions, but also to be grateful in your afflictions, and look for the power of the Holy Spirit to be poured out in you so that you too can go on a joy hunt. You know, I think that people who don't believe in God must believe in extreme coincidence. It's just crazy sometimes how things come together. And personally, I don't believe in extreme coincidence. Have you ever experienced a season of your life where the same verse just kept coming up over and over and over and over? I have had times in my life where three different people would text me the exact same verse. Three different people who were unconnected and didn't know each other, and even maybe didn't even know what I was going through that day, would send me the exact same verse. Now, I do not believe that is coincidence. I believe that that is the Lord speaking to me, saying, I've got something to say to you out of my word. And so whenever that happens, I do all kinds of unusual things. Sometimes I write it on an index card and tape it to my mirror. Sometimes I just try to memorize it. Sometimes I literally will write it on my feet. A friend of mine told me to do that. That way you're standing on the word. I know that's a little weird, but it's just kind of a cool reminder. And so this particular week, the same verse keeps coming up. It's Isaiah 43, verse 18. And it says, do not remember the past events. Pay no attention to the things of old. Look, I am about to do something new. Even now it is coming. Do you not see it? Indeed, I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. And so that's that hope that we have in the season of affliction, that God's going to just put that all behind you, and he's going to do something new. And he's going to make rivers in the desert. And when you have hope in the Lord, when you can keep your focus on that, when you can thank him in advance before you even know what he's got for you, because you somehow deep down in your soul trust that whatever plan he has for your life is better than any plan you possibly could have for yourself, then you'll experience joy. And joy comes in hope. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, the cool thing about that verse is that comes out of Isaiah 43. And Isaiah 43 has always been very, very special to me, because very early in my walk with the Lord, and I'm not saying very early in my Christian life, because I had been a Christian for many years before I truly started walking with the Lord. And just let me tell you, it's being in the Word that teaches you to walk with the Lord. If you want to get to know Christ, you have to know what his Word says. But very early in my walk with the Lord, I had another very difficult event in my life. It was probably one of the most tragic events I've ever experienced. And it was very private, but a dear friend of mine came to me. She put her hands on my face, and she looked me straight in the eye, and she quoted out of Isaiah 43, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and you are mine. I will be with you when you pass through the waters. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. You will not be scorched when you walk through the fire, and the flame will not burn you. For I, Yahweh, your God, the Holy One of Israel and your Savior, give Egypt as a ransom for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Do not fear, for I am with you." And then in the end it says, "Everyone called by my name and created for my glory, I have formed him. Indeed, I have made him." That has always just been a very, very special verse to me, because it doesn't say if you go through the fires and if you pass through the waters that the Lord's going to save you. It says when. And y'all, we're all going to experience trouble in this life. Jesus said that. He says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, because I have overcome. And you just have to lean into the overcomer. You have to lean into the Word of God. You have to open your eyes and hunt for joy. Oh, and that reminds me, remember what I said at the beginning. Hunting requires that you are very, very quiet and very, very still for an extended period of time. And I am still not any good at that. So please pray for me that I will be still and know that he is God, that I will rest patiently and wait for the Lord, because that's so hard for me. It's so much easier for us to do something. If you're like me, you're a doer. You know, I can do something all day long, but to wait and let God do it is so much harder. But you know what that is? That's faith, and that's trust that he is able, that he will see you through, that he will take care of your situation. That's what faith is. Faith is not fixing it. He said, see, I am doing a new thing. It's God that does a new thing, not us. But we're so impatient. We like to be busy. We like to be doing something. I think it's because it makes us feel like we have some kind of control over the situation. When we can lay it down and surrender it and say, whatever, Lord, whatever. You know, we worry about what if this happens, what if that happens, and we get ourselves all tied up in knots, and that is the biggest joy stealer in the world. But when we can lay it all down and say, whatever, if my worst fears come true, I will yet praise you, Lord. You know, that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said when they were facing the furnace. Our God is able to deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we will still praise him. When we can get to that point, in a posture of just being on our knees before the Lord and saying, whatever, I trust you, there is a peace that overwhelms, that certainly passes understanding. And there's a joy that's unexplainable. It is unexplainable, and it is real. This is not something you can muster up within yourself. It's not something you can fake. It comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know where that verse comes from about the peace that passes understanding? It's out of Philippians 4, and it's right after the verse that says, don't worry about everything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't worry. That means release control. Let God take care of it and trust that He will through prayer and petition with thanksgiving. I'm going to be speaking about joy on January 21st. The event is called Unwrapping Joy, When Life Tears Apart. And I believe the key to unwrapping joy is to have a heart of gratitude. And I believe that worry is the joy thief. Worry and anxiety are the joy thief. That's why I recently completed a series about anxiety on my blog, because I think it's just epidemic, and it's something that I had not had a lot of experience with until, you know, I always say my life turned upside down when I got sick, but this last year my life's been torn apart at the very seams. And I experienced anxiety for the first time in my life, and I had counseled a lot of women about that, and I had to see if those words were really true and if what I had recommended really worked. And what I found out is, yes, it does, but it is not easy. It's very, very hard. And so all of these things that we have to do that are hard, like being still and being quiet before the Lord and searching for joy and trusting Him, all of those things require doing it every moment of every day. When Christ died on the cross, He said, it is finished. It was enough. But for us, He said, you got to take up your cross daily. Every single solitary day, we have to get up and know that His mercies are new for today. Give us this day our daily bread and take up your cross daily and follow Him. I was recently given a study that showed that if you read your Bible 3 times a week and you're a Christian, that it absolutely makes no difference in your behavior. Does that surprise you? But if you read your Bible 4 days a week or more, you can live radically different. So what if we read our Bible 7 days a week? What if we marinated in the Word of God? You know, once you get into Bible study and you start learning and seeing how it all connects and seeing the beauty of it all, it just weaves through your life. I interview a lot of people on this program, and one of the things that I have seen so often about people who have survived difficult circumstances or some of the writers that I have interviewed is scripture just flows out of their mouth. It's like a whole different language that you learn, and it's God's language. It's how He speaks to us. So if you want to hear God speak into your life, learn His language, and then you will experience joy, even when your circumstances aren't good, maybe especially when your circumstances are good. So I just want to invite you to join me on my joy hunt. You can join me on Twitter at Right Side Up Life, or pick a word for yourself and just dwell on that word. Look for scriptures about that word. I have a friend whose mother gets a little Bible every year, and she spends an entire year going through the Bible and looking at one word, and she circles it and highlights it and writes out her thoughts, and then she gives that as a gift to one of her grandkids every year. What a treasure. What an absolute treasure. So pick a word this year or follow me on my joy hunt. I hate to break it to you, but we may have to be quiet and still before the Lord. And hopefully you're better at that than I am. But we're going to find joy. We're going to find joy in affliction. We're going to find joy in happy circumstances. We're going to find joy in the Lord, because that is the only place it comes to us from, is through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I pray that you have a very blessed 2017. Pray that the God of hope and peace and joy will fill your hearts and minds. And thank you so much for joining me at my journey of faith.